Okay, Genesis chapter 19, we'll finish up. Finish up chapter 19 today, I hope, and go on to chapter 20.
It'd be nice.
Get rid of Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this chapter 19 is about the last that we hear of Lot and the things that have gone on with Lot. We talked last week about Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain being destroyed, the angels pulling Lot and his wife and two daughters out of the city to get them out, and their desire not to go to the mountains and live there where God said, this is where I want you to go, and Lot desiring to go to another city of the plain, the littlest one there. The angels say, that's fine, God allows that. Lot moves into that city. We got to about verse 30 last week. It says, and Lot went up out of Zoar, which is the little city that he moved into that was spared. He moved, went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, for he and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar and dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So he moved into this little town. If you don't stop and think about it, you don't realize. So this plain that they're on, the fertile plain that they lived in, several cities around there, they prospered because of the area that they lived. When God destroyed the cities of the plain, basically, everything was destroyed in that area except for this one little town that Lot happened to be in. So if you wonder why he was afraid to live in that town, very easily could have been maybe they blamed him. How was he and his daughters the only three to survive the complete destruction of all these major cities and the entire plain? On top of the fact that now the city of Zoar, basically their prosperity and livelihood is destroyed because the whole plain has been destroyed. So now they're living in a vast area of destruction. So once you see that picture or realize that, you can see why they might blame or have ill will feelings against Lot. Was he the cause of this? Why was he the only one to survive? So anyhow, Lot, because of this, moves to the mountains where God told him to move. let's go on. And the firstborn said unto the younger, I wish we could skip this too. Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, that we will lie with him, and we may preserve seed of our father. I'll keep going. And it came to pass, verse 33. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she rose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the first said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down or when she rose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. We'll stop there for a second. if things weren't bad enough, we see this situation. As you stop and look at this, a couple things strike me. They moved out of this city of Zoar. Actually, they moved into the city of Zoar with no possessions, right? And from there, they decided they were going to go live in the mountains because they were afraid to live in this city. But they took some wine with them. Am I missing something here? Apparently, that was a necessity. If I'm going to go live in the hills, I got to take some alcoholic beverages with me. which is interesting to begin with. If as you read down through here, verse 31, our father is old, okay, their father's old, so what? And there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after manner of all the earth. In other words, there's no men here. We're never going to have children. Okay, I see in their present situation, they're living in the mountains with their father in a cave. That means that they're never going to leave there? I mean, stop it. If you view the situation right now, okay, right now we're living in this cave and there's no other men around for us to marry, to have children, to preserve our father's heritage or whatever. Okay, but does that mean, I mean, they're young girls. They're not, it's not like they're about to die and they're going to die in this cave. So their reasoning is we got to hurry up and do this because we're never going to be able to get married because what? We're thinking we're going to live here forever. Andrew. Right.
I think of the city of Ai after the destruction of Jericho. There was no conversation with God before they went to attack that city. Same in this situation. Now, granted, we know that Lot has kind of fallen from the path, but still, even with his daughters and him, there was no like going to God who had just saved them.
Right, right, yeah. So God had saved them, and now he was going to leave them to live forever in this cave and die there. Part of their other reasoning is to preserve our father's seed or his heritage or his lineage. So apparently they figured that Lot was going to die there too or something, because obviously he was never going to remarry, never going to have any more children. You see how their reasoning seems to be flawed. Another one is, if you stop and think about it, you're not living in town where you've got a nice warm bed, a nice warm house. You're living in a cave. So it's better to be pregnant and living in a cave than it is to be not pregnant and living in a cave, right? Ladies, you all agree to that, right? That it's better to be pregnant and have to live in difficult circumstances, right? Apparently. So as I read down through here, I see that their reasoning is flawed based on their situation at the moment, which unfortunately sometimes, not that we're going to compare ourselves with them, but sometimes we get caught up in the situation, and right now this is all I see is what my situation is. And they made a decision based upon that. Of course, we also see that their moral compass is pretty much
broken.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, well, and again, so we go back to Lot and his decisions, and look how those decisions that Lot has made earlier on in life have come back to haunt him and his family again. Obviously, living in the city of Sodom, the daughters knew what was going on in town. I mean, it's not like it's a surprise to anybody that lives there what took place in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah or the cities of the plains. So, obviously, they were under that influence to that point as well, and obviously had no problem with this act that they were going to commit, because that's how they'd been raised, in and amongst this. It's interesting. I know a couple commentaries mentioned the fact that they were virgin daughters, so maybe Lot had some influence because they hadn't been involved with men up to that point, but we don't know. But anyhow, so we see this take place, this situation where they lay with their father two nights in a row. Oh, by the way, Lot is not completely innocent. You can't say, well, Lot had no idea what was going on. Okay, well, Lot allowed himself to get drunk.
Blackout drunk,
exactly, to where he didn't know what was going on. Not once, but twice, two nights in a row. So Lot's not exactly completely innocent in this whole situation.
John?
Yes.
I often, for years, I've thought, to try to reconcile this, we go back in Sodom,
mm-hmm.
and Lot had offered
Mm-hmm.
to the men.
Yeah.
And the angels pulled him back and said, no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the minds of the daughters. I mean, if dad doesn't care any more about us than that to offer us to the men of the city,
yeah.
what's this going to
be? Yeah. Yep. That as well. So we see, excuse me, and thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. Verse 37, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Sound familiar?
Yep.
The same the father of the Moabites, and the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Anybody know any of the history of the Ammonites and the Moabites? Yes.
Yeah.
And
often, often enemies.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites.
Yes. Yep. So again, another effect of these bad decisions that Lot has made. I often thought, why didn't God keep them from becoming pregnant? That wouldn't have been difficult for him, right? But God, in his infinite wisdom, for some reason allowed them to have children from this act, and God had a purpose, whatever that purpose might be. But we do know that they were enemies of the Israelites for quite a while. I want to read a little paragraph. It said, Lot made many bad choices when he decided to choose the well-watered land for his herds, and then pitched his tent towards Sodom. And again, we've talked about this. Lot decided what was best for him and his family. He and his family have paid the consequences for those decisions. He had chosen to make himself wealthy at the expense of his own spiritual good. As a result, he lost everything except his life. And then it says, Lot did not consider God in his progressively bad choices. And unfortunately, when we don't consult God as we make choices in our life, many times that's what happens, is a bad choice and then another bad choice and another bad choice. If there's anything, and again, as we chart chapter 20, we're talking about Abraham and Sarah again. This is the last you hear of Lot. His name is mentioned in Scripture, but more in reference to the Lot or the children of Lot or this piece of land belonged to Lot or whatever it is. So we don't see any more about Lot and his life anymore in Scripture. So what do we learn from Lot? He's in Scripture for a reason. Maybe the best thing we can learn from what happened to him is choices. We all face choices every day, don't we? Some choices we think are minor and don't make a difference. Some choices may be major and have a major repercussions. Sometimes the minor choices that we make have major repercussions that we don't realize. So we need to, again, we never see Lot going to God and praying for his situation or to help him out of anything. He just based his decisions on what he saw, what he thought was best for him. Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. If Lot had made right choices, then the daughters would have seen that example. But unfortunately, they saw the example of ungodliness.
Right.
And that's the path they followed.
Right.
So our choices do affect
them. And again, we've talked about this before. The New Testament says Lot was a righteous man that vexed his soul daily because of the situation that he put himself in. So God saw something in Lot. I'm not sure that I can come up with it, but God saw something that he said that Lot was a righteous man, but obviously made extremely poor decisions. And on top of that, I mean, we look at the physical circumstances of Lot and his life and his decisions, but how about any spiritual consequences that Lot might have? What kind of testimony did Lot have in his life that anybody would have seen? Even his own family members who knew him best. None whatsoever. for God who called him righteous. Andrew.
It's hard for us as humans to see that because, well, even in Scripture, it says that we see the appearance of man, whereas God sees
mm-hmm.
the heart of man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
If God called Lot righteous, wouldn't it be for the same reason that he could call any of us righteous?
Yeah.
That we trusted God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only redeeming quality that any of us
have. Right. Right. So somewhere in Lot's life, he trusted God, although for the period that we've been looking at here, there doesn't seem to be much of any trust in God or desire to please God or... you know what I'm saying? In other words, poor decision after another.
We have the worst part of his life.
Right, right, exactly, right. We don't have every little detail of the whole story, but God called him righteous, therefore God's the righteous judge, and according to that, we know that he's deemed Lot as being righteous.
And there was multiple times that God had brought him out.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and it's not like he never, yeah. It's not like he never saw God provide for him in different ways. Go ahead, Stan.
I believe it's because of 29. Yeah, it says, came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. So it's about the covenant.
Yeah.
It's about the Abrahamic covenant.
Well, he, yeah.
But,
yeah. Right, yep.
Which is huge. I mean, when you look at Lot and how twisted they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
We're Gentiles. This is not, we don't know what this is.
Yeah.
In my experience, as far as how these people live and the tradition, you know, how traditions are very foolish at times.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like the girls were looking at.
Well, yeah, because it was important for them to have children to carry on their father's line. Right. But even in that, carrying on the traditions of the day went against.
I'm just saying God made it be that way.
Yeah.
God pulled a lot out of the deal because he had decided to, or he was saving that
mm-hmm.
From total destruction.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. Chapter 20. So we're back to Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham journeyed, chapter 20 is a little better, but anyhow. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed in Gerar. this area that he's heading, Gerar is a capital city at the time, was a capital city in the land of the Philistines near the Egyptian border. This was a very prosperous city, and it may have been that Abraham had business dealings in this city. After all, we have to keep remembering that Abraham was not, it wasn't just Abraham and Sarah living out in the wilderness. Abraham had a lot of wealth. Abraham had servants, flocks, sheep, cattle. He was a wealthy individual. God had provided for him and blessed him, even though Abraham wasn't perfect either. So it's quite possible that he had a lot of wealth, and that's maybe he had business dealings. It doesn't say why he journeyed there, but we know that he journeyed down south and around and landed in this city of Gerar, which is the capital city at the time. In the land of the Philistines, were descendants from Ham. Remember Ham? Way back then. Who apparently had settled in various places, but over here along the coast as well.
That's Gaza today.
Yeah. That's over near Gaza today, exactly. And Abraham said of Sarah, his sister, And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Okay, we remember this. This sounds familiar. let's read on, and then we'll talk about it a little more. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art a dead man." That would get your attention, wouldn't it? "Behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" And he said not unto me, "She is my sister." And he said not unto me, in other words, he told me she was his sister. And she, even herself, said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this," whatever integrity he had in his heart. And God said to him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee to not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose. We'll stop there, and then we'll keep going. So, same thing. Rolled into this new area. Abraham maybe didn't know a lot about them, but he knew pretty much that they were ungodly people that lived there. And again, he says to Sarah, "You say you're my sister because I think they might kill me to get to you." By the way, do you know how old Sarah was at the time? Yeah, 90. It's interesting that Abraham rolls into this new area and is worried about somebody offing him to get to his 90-year-old wife. But apparently Sarah was still quite attractive. And maybe, I'm not saying it is, but maybe it's got something to do with the fact that God was restoring some type of bodily function within her to allow her to have children. I mean, at 90, it's a little late to have children unless God performs a miracle, which he's going to do. And part of that might have been restoring her physically to make her able to do that. But it's just interesting to note the fact that she was 90, yet Abraham was still worried about her and him. And again, as we read on farther, we'll see that they had agreed that this was going to be their M.O. if something were to take place. You know, do this as a favor to me if in the future if we ever run across this situation. So Abraham says, "She's my sister." She agrees, "Yes, he's my brother." And again, they find, or this time it's Abimelech finds himself in a situation. It says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.'" So God comes to Abimelech himself and says, this isn't good here. This isn't going to take. Actually, God has brought about some type of affliction on Abimelech already and his wife and his maidservants, because we see later on that it says Abraham prayed for. Actually, we can jump over there real quick. If you go to 17, "And Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children." So apparently God had stricken Abimelech. What? "For the Lord had fast closed up the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of the..." Yeah, so... So they had not, but not just that, because he healed Abimelech. So there must have been some type of affliction or sickness or something that he had brought upon Abimelech that he needed to be healed, because if he didn't, he was surely going to die. So maybe it was, who knows? We don't know. But it says that God had healed him because Abraham prayed for him. But at any rate, God had kept Abimelech from coming to Sarah. Um, Not necessarily.
Well, how would they have known?
Right? Well, I've been thinking. Right. They maybe that's something that God brought about, but they hadn't. They didn't know about that yet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe his wife and his maidservants and Abimelech had this disease or health issue, whatever it might be, that kept him from coming to Sarah. And in the meantime, maybe the fact that God had closed the womb of those women was something that God did, but they didn't know about. I don't know. I don't know how long they were there. It doesn't say. Yes, it could have been quite a while, but again, we don't know what the time frame is. So maybe they lived there for a while before Sarah, or before Abimelech took Sarah to be part of his, whatever, maidservants, harem, whatever it might be. Maybe it was a short period of time and God had just closed the wombs of those women without them knowing. Maybe it was a result that God knew about, but they didn't. But it seems like there was some kind of sickness involved, because it said that Abraham prayed for them and God healed them later on. So whatever it was, God kept Abimelech from coming to Sarah, which was good for him, because he says in verse 7, if thou restore her not, so this is what I'm telling you, if you don't restore her, thou will surely die, which would, again, seem to indicate that something's going on, that he knows that he's going to die if he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It seems like he's already sick. And all that are thine. So it's not just you, but it's your wife and your family and everything that you own, everything that's yours. So if Abimelech hadn't known anything about God up to this point, do you think God got his attention? I think that'd be a pretty serious way for God to get your attention. If your finances are in a shambles, or your job is going to pot, whatever it might be, is one thing. But your health starts to be affected, and God's got your attention, doesn't he? God knows how to get people's attention, Pastor.
In our reading, it seems like it was just an overnight thing.
It does, yeah.
But you go back to verse 1.
Yeah.
And it tells us that he journeyed to the south and dwelt, that's lived,
yeah,
between, and he stayed at Gerar.
Yeah.
He, as we put that in the context, Abraham had moved all of his possessions down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, though, in our one chapter,
right,
it was bam, bam, bam. But I think when we keep in mind that all of Abraham's bunch were living down there. Now, they had set up camp. And most likely, this whole thing about the closed wombs and things like that, to me, as Abraham has spent time down there, something was happening to women, and all of a sudden they couldn't get pregnant, and like I say, it seems like it was just one night's incident and then one dream and all done.
Right,
but
yeah.
Obviously,
slay a righteous nation.
Yeah. How
yeah.
I think we have to keep that as a possibility.
Right, right, yeah. Again, we don't know the time frame, but it's quite possible. It was a lengthy period of time. Could have been a short period of time. We don't know, but we know that God got his attention. Okay, we'll continue on with this next week. Lord bless you this morning.